everyone remain calm.
Yeah, ooh, ah, that's how it always starts. And later there's running and screaming.
Somebody talk to me! What is happening?
Welcome to Jurassic World.
You're listening to the Jurassic Park Podcast.
You want to consult here or in my bungalow?
Hold on to your butt.
Well, we're back.
Hello. Welcome to the Jurassic Park podcast. I'm John Hammond, your host. And I'm joined here with some special members of the Jurassic Park franchise with me today. Spare no expense. We have Nick Van Owen, our video documentarian. Say hello, Nick.
Ah, wait, what, you think I'm just going to just appear in one movie and not come back again? You see what I just did there?
And I'm joined by my nephew, Peter Ludlow, who took over engine from me. Say hello, Peter. Hello, Uncle. I'm sorry, Uncle. I didn't mean for this to happen. What happened on Azor Sauna? Too late for this request. Let's move on. We're also joined by Robert Muldoon, my game warden from Kenya. Hello, Robert. This podcast should be destroyed. Always a negative, Robert. Always a negative. Welcome to the podcast. We are also joined by Roland Tembo, one of the game wardens who went all the way to Isla Sauna on Site B. Say hello, Roland. Hello, everybody. Let's get one thing straight. If you want me to join this little podcast of yours, first of all, I'm in charge. When I'm not around, Lisa is. Is that clear? Well, I'm afraid this is my podcast, Roland. You'll have to just be a guest, I'm afraid.
But, Uncle, it did single-handedly save InGen.
And lastly, we're joined by Dr. Ian Malcolm. Hello, Ian. Long time no see, my old friend.
John, how's it going, my old friend? How's things? They're good, right? But what about James and Steve? They're a good guess, right? No? Well.
I'm sorry, Ian, but I won't be making the same mistakes again.
No, you're making all new ones.
And our final guest is Owen Grady. Say hello, Owen.
Hello, here's on me.
Hello, Owen, welcome to the podcast.
Let me get this straight. You made a Jurassic podcast. Conversation completely made up. They are hearing all of this for the first time. They don't even know what this is. They will kill anybody that listens. Evacuate the podcast.
Oh, steady on in. Steady on, Owen. Let's not get too hasty. Let's at least give the listeners a chance to reflect. Let's have a bit of fun first.
Damn! Hate this podcast crap!
Hello and welcome to the 84th episode of the Jurassic Park Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Jost, and we're here to discuss all things Jurassic Park. In this episode, we have a bunch of really great news regarding the Jurassic World sequel. We're debuting a brand new segment called Jurassic Pop Quiz with Jurassic Unicast. In their new segment, James and Steve will be bringing in people to test their knowledge on the Jurassic Park franchise, along with a few comical questions. It's a great new segment, so you won't want to miss it. After that, we have another quick poll segment based off an image posted by J.A. Bayona. We'll find out exactly what you think about it. For those who don't listen to the outro of the podcast, we always open the door for listeners to create their own segments. In the past few months, we've had Jay Jurassic create his own segment, Amber Finds, and people have been raving about it. They really love it. Today, we have James and Steve of Jurassic Unicast debuting a new segment, and I think you're really going to enjoy that one. And we also have a few concepts rolling down the pipeline as we speak. Now, if you have any ideas for a segment or want to debut a segment of your own, feel free to contact us and suggest it. From the start, I've told you it's not just my show. It's all of yours. This is a community podcast anybody can contribute to, so hopefully you feel welcome enough to do so. Anyway, I just figured I'd front load this for the people who don't listen to the end of the podcast. So let's continue on. Don't forget we have a special promo code available to listeners of the podcast to use for Jurassic World the Exhibition. Head to fi.edu or call the museum at 215-448-1200 to purchase tickets and use the code JWGENER to get $5 off daytime adult admission tickets to Jurassic World the Exhibition. Now, this is limit to 4 tickets per person. It does include general admission to the Franklin Institute, but it cannot be combined with any other offer or discount. Upgrades are available on site for the IMAX and 3D theaters. It is redeemable online, over the phone, or at the ticketing desk. Processing fees apply when ordering your tickets in advance. Now, it does exclude holidays, but it is valid through April 19th, 2017. Again, the promo code is JWGENER. Use it and let us know when you do. All right, well, why don't we get things started off with a bit of Jurassic news from around the world.
18 minutes and your company catches up on 10 years of research.
Access rate program. Access rate security.
These pictures were taken in hospital in Costa Rica 48 hours ago.
I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but look.
Boy, my head been right all the time.
But today, I guarantee it.
So, big stuff is starting to trickle out this week as we get closer to the start of filming for the Jurassic World sequel. J.A. Bayona shared his first teaser of the sequel as he posted an image of a lineup of Jurassic World construction helmets. What could it mean? I don't know, but there's a few context clues that we can take away from this image. First off, it seems to be a mix of helmets that we've already seen in Jurassic World. So, does this mean we are revisiting Nublar? Is it a potential ruins of the park? Are we headed back to the Indominus paddock, maybe? We also see that the helmets are pretty worn in. So maybe this does signal the ruins of the park. Or maybe is it the ruins of Site B? Who knows, really? But we'll certainly hear more from the listeners on this topic in the poll segment, so stay tuned. This picture may be something, or maybe not at all. Probably not at all, but we'll find out soon enough. I'll post the image in our show notes. We've got a new casting alert for the sequel. This week via Variety.com, we've learned that Daniela Pineda has been cast as one of the new female leads in the sequel to Jurassic World. We really don't know anything about her role just yet, but of course we are expecting big things. Now, maybe you don't know her name, but you have seen her in a few roles in a few TV series, The Originals, The Detour, and American Odyssey. Now, this is her first major film release, so it is exciting to see that the producers of the film are going with several relatively unknown names for the next film. Anyway, head to our show notes for a link to the report by Variety. Next up, we might have another casting update. Maybe. Not sure yet. Over on Twitter this past week, DJ Dimitri Vegas posted a photo of himself and producer Frank Marshall saying,
"Meeting with one of my heroes today, @LayDoctor, #JurassicWorld.
Follow that up with Frank Marshall retweeting it and also saying,
"DJ Master Frank meets with one of his heroes. Who knows where this will lead?"
So what do we think? Does this hint at the guy possibly having a role or a cameo in the sequel film? Eh, possibly. You know, I know nothing about DJ Dimitri Vegas, aside from his name being very hard to pronounce and I've had to record it about 9 times already, but apparently he has an affinity towards Jurassic Park, and if you followed his account since the first post, you'll see that he picked up the Lost World T-Rex bust from Chronicle Collectibles. Now, according to WeGotThisCovered.com, Dimitri has been looking to get into acting, and from their sources, they say that this was definitely a meeting about appearing in the next film. Now, this could be a number of things. Like we said before, a cameo, a la Jimmy Buffett in Jurassic World, or maybe it's something bigger. Again, with all the news this week, who knows? We'll find out soon enough. Head to the link in our show notes to read more from We Got This Covered.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
The closest you will ever come to living dinosaurs.
Jurassic World, the exhibition, now open at the Franklin Institute. Based on one of the biggest blockbusters in cinema history. Don't miss this awe-inspiring event for the whole family. Only at the Franklin Institute. For tickets, visit fi.edu. And remember, if something chases you, run.
All right, let's head into our news segment, Jurassic Pop Quiz with Jurassic Unicast.
I have good reason to believe that you would find this challenging.
You should hear a four-year-old try to say Archaeornithomimus.
You should hear you try to say it.
Even problem-solving intelligence, especially the big one.
Well, this madness must stop. Now.
You, sir, are no gentleman.
How did you know?
One drop of this can paralyze you, so watch out.
Thank God.
Is this real?
Yes.
It is?
Jurassic Pop Quiz with Jurassic Unicast.
And welcome back to Jurassic Unicast. I am one of your hosts, James, and I'm joined with...
Stephen Hurrell.
And we have a special guest.
Hello there.
Well, I say special, he's special in some ways, I guess. Yeah. But he's a proud member of our Unicast crew, I guess. Went to the Jurassic World with us. Mm. And it's Dan, say hello.
Hello there, it's me.
All right, Dan, how you doing?
I'm very good, yourself?
How's life today?
Busy. Constant rush at the minute.
Unreal.
Yeah. Well, this has been quite a bit of a struggle to get all this in, I guess. Yeah. But it's a fun little piece that me and Steve have thought about doing, and we thought it'd be funnier to sort of bring someone else that hasn't sort of got a clue of what we've been up to recently.
No. I'm of the understanding that you guys have already done this, but you didn't record it.
Yes.
And we found it highly amusing.
So, yeah. We found it very amusing between us, but then we are British and we do have a weird sense of humour.
Yeah.
So,
and we're sort of doing this as a segment on Brad Jost's podcast, the Jurassic Park podcast.
Hey, Brad.
And please check him out. His podcast is fantastic. Go on iTunes, and I think he's on every single thing there is.
Yeah.
And a podcast, doesn't it?
Jurassic Park. Yeah, Twitter, podcast. SoundCloud, YouTube.
And JurassicParkPodcast.com, is it?
Yeah.
And you can find all the information about all the podcasts on there, and segments and guests, etc. And you'll find our lovely selves on there.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we get going? Right,
yes.
First of all, we'll tell the audience or the guests and people that are listening what's going on. We are planning on giving Dan a question time related to the Jurassic Park franchise. It covers many different aspects of it, some more humorous than others.
And some very, very serious.
Yes, very, okay. Very serious. To the point where you can almost be judged on this, Daniel. To the point of being, defriended and...
Well, that's not very nice.
Your whole reputation as a Jurassic Park fan lies on your answers today.
Oh, no.
And as a friend.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway... Where were we, guys? Oh, hey. Right. So, Steve, would you like to take us away with the first question for Daniel?
Okay, Mr. Daniel. The very first question is, who would win in an arm wrestling match? Ray Arnold from Jurassic Park or Vic Hoskins from Jurassic World? Now, bearing in mind that both of these did get their arms chewed off by a raptor.
Is it pre-raptor bite or post-raptor bite?
This is post-raptor bite.
Oh, so they both got their weaker arms.
I'd say Hoskins. He works out. He's that kind of guy. Whereas Ray Arnold, he was more of a computer scientist. I'd say Hoskins based on that. His physique. Look at him. Looking.
Do you like their physique then, Dan?
That's telling.
Okay. Just checking. I thought it was. I thought he was heading towards somewhere then. Okay. Who would win, in your opinion, in a fist fight between Robert Muldoon and Roland Timbo?
Spoiler alert, post-death or pre-death?
Okay. obviously, pre-death.
I say pre.
As a dead body, you wouldn't give much of a fight back, would it?
I want to say Muldoon, but I want to say... Roland, purely for Pete Postlethwaite. Rest in peace. It's till Saturday. So I'll say Roman.
Every listener, you need to do the sign of the cross right now.
I am doing it for viewing purposes.
Okay, Stephen, take it away.
Okay. Do you think that Alan Grant's return in Jurassic Park 3 was a good decision? Or do you feel another original character would have been better?
I'd say writing-wise, bad decision. Like, you know, right from the word go, he said, I'll never go on an island. It was just too cheesy. But yeah, for film purposes, I think that's the only thing that could have brought him back, if not Jeff Goldblum. But, you know, growing up, for me, Alan Grant, Sam Neill, he was, you know, he was Jurassic Park man. So that brought back viewers, I'd say.
Money, yeah. Money.
Yeah, that is literally it.
It's a funny.
And bad idea for the film, but good idea for money. Yeah.
Yeah. And how bad would the film would have been without Alan Grant?
Probably.
It depends who.
Yeah, I mean, it was Jeff Goldblum.
Who his replacement was.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Goldblum wouldn't have fitted anyway. It wouldn't have been right at all. But yeah, it wouldn't have been good. It would have been even worse. He made
could have been sense. Could have been even weirder if Harrison Ford,
oh,
played that character.
Was he not?
He was asked to do it in.
Yeah. Depends. Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one, that. Stop doing walking.
Sorry. It's just habit. Anyway, okay, good answer.
Yeah.
It's quite a difficult question to answer, that one.
It really is.
Okay, if you had to eat a body part from Jurassic Park, like a dead person's body part, to survive, out of these two choices, which would it be? Would it be Arnold's arm to munch on, or would it be Dieter's remains from the Lost World?
Who doesn't want a piece of Samuel Jackson in their body? Come on.
Oh, God. I said, no more eating my arm.
Yeah, it's got to be Arnold.
Get off my arm!
Everyone wants a taste of Sam Jackson.
I'm sick of Daniel eating my arm.
But
he didn't do
it.
Oh, dearie me.
Steve.
Okay. Who would win in a sumo wrestling match? Nedry or a Pachycephalosaurus?
I'll go Nedry.
Yeah?
Yeah, mind you, he couldn't even get a dialo off him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm.
He was blinded, though.
Yeah. But was he?
I think if he wasn't caught off guard, yeah, I'd say Nedry. A proper rule abiding sumo match, Nedry, he'd take that down.
Done.
Okay.
Good answer.
Okay, right. So, Clash of the Gingers. Claire or Sarah?
I've got to go Claire. I've got a thing for Bryce Dallas.
Yeah, I agree, to be fair. I'm not a fan of a hairstyle in Jurassic World. I think she looks stunning with it, but I wouldn't look in that hairstyle to.
And if we're talking
my preferred,
if we're talking characteristics, I like the fact she's a bit of a control freak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that in a girl. A bit of power. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to tell that to her.
No, you do not tell that
to Kimmy.
I like her just the way she is.
Yes, I have to tell her that then.
Okay. Who is better at not being noticed? The Indominus Rex, considering that he can camouflage, or Dodgson, because nobody really cares that he's there?
Dodgson! We got Dodgson here!
Yeah, Dodgson.
Dodgson. Straight up. Yeah. It was the hat and glasses that did it, wasn't it?
Yeah, the disguise.
What is your favourite Jurassic Park? Why and what order do you rank them in?
Think
about this very, very carefully.
I'll do order first. This is pretty obvious. I know I've got my arguments that you both know about, but ranking third to first, JP3, Lost World, and JP1, always my favourite. It's just the original. It was groundbreaking. Just graphics, effects. I'll never get the day I first saw that. I wasn't old enough to see it at the cinema, but I think it was one of the first films I remember actually seeing.
Oh, to be
as a child.
You.
Yeah. No, it's got to be in that order. You can't really have it any other way.
Okay, so just to clarify, from first is Jurassic Park, second is
Lost World,
and
in abysmal third place, JP3.
So you put Jurassic World last.
With Jurassic World in it as well?
Yeah.
Oh, you put 723. No. Jurassic World, sorry. Jurassic Park 1, Jurassic World, Lost World, and then JP3. Lost okay. World. Jurassic World comes second.
Interesting choice. I don't disagree in some ways. I think Jurassic World, it's the perfect sequel for the first one.
Yeah.
But it's a tough film choice between Lost World.
But I love the Lost World just because of the rawness. And
it's different.
It's very different. Yeah, it's wild. Humans aren't in control on that island. I think that's why I like it.
It's still got
and I'm hoping, touch wood, that the new film will head in that sort of direction, which should be quite nice.
Yeah, not much on it just yet, unfortunately.
No.
Yeah, should start here.
Anyway, place. Yeah, okay. So that's that one done.
I think that's due to start filming this year.
It is. I think it's June.
I think.
Very much. And then, no, they've got to be... I know, you might be right, actually.
I did read it. I can't remember now.
Brad, you'll probably be able to, you know, clarify that.
Add that one in at the end. if you had to access Woo's lab, what hybrid dino would you create, and what would you call it?
Oh, this is a tough one. I'm no good with names. It'd be a mix. Something flying. I'd like a...
Would it be a small flying one, or...
No, large.
Large, so... You're looking at Pteranodon.
Dimetrodons
are too small.
Dimorphodon.
Yeah.
You got the Quetzalcoatlus, which is
I said this to James the other day, or a couple of weeks ago playing Ark. I love the look of the Tapajaras.
I love Tapajaras. They're good.
Okay, so we're on a Tapajara.
Okay. What about the Tapajara do you like that makes it want to be part of your animal that you've chosen?
It's different. It hasn't got like a long beak. It's got like the sort of a rounded face and the fin just sets it off. It's still quite big.
You like the crest on its back with the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you design it with a crest. Is that the head or just the...
No, I like the head as it is.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, it'd have to be flying.
Body-wise?
Body... Like big, like a giant sort of version of that. You know what I mean? Like with like the way Jurassic World mix sort of raptor and Rex, like a giant raptor essentially. I'd kind of go in that way.
Okay, so it'd be a feral pod.
Yeah.
Okay. How big? Roughly sized?
Talking Carnotaurus size, I'd say. Quite big, not too big.
So about, you know, up to about 20-25.
So still quite like swift, quite nippy.
So we're saying
big enough to kill a human easily, small enough to sort of not be the main.
Yeah.
So, as I'm seeing it so far, we've got a Tapajara head and wings, a Carnotaurus' body.
With a Carnotaurus arms?
Would you like to extend the arms or have the Spino arms to make it a bit longer?
Yeah, chucking the Spino arms in there, why not?
It's a massive arms.
I'll tell you what, if anyone's listening,
we'd love
you to send in to Brad a drawing. So he can post it or send us a drawing at Jurassic Unicast on Twitter. Send us a drawing of someone's doing this. I'd love to see what a hybrid would be class.
Right, are we going to have legs on it?
Yeah. Or is it just going to be a floating head with a wing?
It's like Zubat.
Zubat from Pokemon.
Runs about on his massive arms.
It just does hands. Just walks like a handstand.
Yeah. I think in my head I'm trying to create a dragon subliminally. I didn't realise I was actually doing that.
Too much Game of Thrones for you, I think.
Yeah. Oh well.
Okay, we'll leave it there. That's quite a good art, to be fair. I like that one.
But more importantly, what would this be called?
What, my own personal name for it? Or like a...
Danny Specialosaurus?
Or does it have to be like an Aurus at the end?
It could be a Us.
it could be a sore ass.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because, you know, technically the Indominus Rex wasn't named after the mixture of hybrids.
But wasn't it an Ornithomimus or something like that?
What about a
I'd like to hear you try and say it.
I'll try.
A Carpiurus.
Carpiurus. I like that. That actually has got a ring to it.
There we go. Carpiurus.
Okay, nice one. Which, okay, who would you kill off first out of all of surviving to date characters and why? So who would you pick if you had a choice in your matters? Like, do you know what? He shouldn't have survived. I'm going to kill him. And why? Or kill her and why?
Oh,
I know who I'd pick, personally.
It's still amazing.
What? What's the bad idea? Eric! She would get done and truly by that tricycloplots.
I think either of the Kirbys.
Either of the Kirbys? Oh, see, now you can't even nick my answer.
Oh, really?
yeah, you can have that, go on. I'm so which her. One? Either of the Kirbys. Does that mean Eric's included, or?
Yeah, Eric. Oh, he's in there.
Is he? Yeah, so JP3's characters is your weakest.
But even so, I don't want to. But
I can see your reasoning behind it.
Yeah, it's. I'd go with.
Make a decision.
Yeah, the wife. She's got to go.
All right, but okay, so
as a little bonus answer.
See you later, Mrs. Kirby.
Yeah, Mrs. Kirby's gone. In my head, it still grates me. Jurassic World. When Claire stood in that car shouting for.
I know. It was the most stupid thing I've ever seen.
Pterodons and the Dimetrodons, whatever, was that flying bugs around. Me more, she should have died.
That bugs me more than the kiss scene. That doesn't really bother me that much. No. It wasn't needed, but it doesn't kind of bother me. That's just stupid. That's like almost being like jumping up and down. Ooh, look at me! I'm here, and she's like, she's got red hair. She's like a beacon as well, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's not like she's camouflaged, bright white with red hair.
And yet, climbing on the car in the hills.
Where was the buckle? Where was the broken ankle?
What a mess.
At least.
I know, she should at least give way on her ankle once and then, had to, walk and hobble. but yeah, anyway, going off call.
Right.
Go now.
Who screamed in a vehicle better, Zach and Gray or Lex and Tim?
Lex and Tim? Yeah.
Was it the girl screaming that really added it?
Even Tim. Yeah. Tim's voice kind of breaks a little bit when he's screaming. It's a bit more, if you want to call it breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more iconic for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was actually.
Well, when the T-Rex goes through the window at the top.
Yeah. I suppose that was done because it's real screams, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I remember that. Because the glass was broke, didn't it?
Yeah, wasn't supposed to have.
Yeah. Damn, okay. These practical effects.
Yeah, so you know, real thing is good. We should have real dinosaurs.
We should, but then they're going to bring them back. They've got a bigger budget now. And to be fair, the reason why they didn't do it with the Indominus Rex is because. It was such a fast-moving, fluid animal that it was better to animate with CGI than it would have been. It would, by making it animatronic, would have slowed it down.
Yeah, it was done well.
And it would have lost the impact of the impression it was trying to give. So that's why the CGI in Indominus is as flawless as it is. They put all their money into it.
But they had an animatronic scene, didn't they? When it burst through the old place when they was hiding behind a truck, and was that?
That weren't on him. There wasn't any animatronic in Dominus.
Sure, I did somewhere. Right.
No, the only thing they did have was an arm, I believe, and they used that for scaling reasons.
Was that when it came through
the traders?
That's it.
The little traders thing.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Out of all the kids, so Kelly, Eric, Lex, Tim, Eric. Zach, Gray, out of all them kids. Who would you write in the story to die? With justification.
Different answers I can say. I want to say Kelly because I feel like she was just putting it for dramatic effect for Jeff Goldblum to do something and have someone to try and save.
Thank you. Are you monitoring that?
But then I'd say Gray is annoying.
Okay, Gray is annoying. To be fair, Gray's annoying. He's a good actor, I think. But
he is. He was in Iron Man 3 as well.
He did play his character quite well. Yeah, very hyperactive. Almost like he's got a condition of ADHD or something, I don't know. But he did play that very well. Okay, Steve?
I've sorted my questions. I only have that very last one.
Okay, right, I'll continue with mine then. Okay, if you had to have a relation with a gun at your head... Would it be Malcolm, Owen or die?
He's thinking about it.
I mean, I'd take Owen.
Yeah.
You'd take Owen?
I'd take Owen.
To be fair, he's a geezer. Yeah. I like Owen, yeah.
He's putting shit for his body. I'll take that.
Yeah. 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 Not you. Don't you want to, like, you know?
I think I just have
Malcolm's
a.
Malcolm's got that chest hair.
Yeah, he's quite sexy. No, but no. I think Chris Pratt. He's up there for a for a homosexual crush of mine. I'd say.
Yeah. Geezer.
Don't put it on record, even though it already is.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
Go.
Right. Daniel.
Yes. Yeah.
You've woken up. You are naked in a jungle.
Ooh.
And you have to choose just one of these items of clothing.
Please be loincloth.
Would it be? What would you choose? Muldoon socks?
Oh, I know where this is going.
Or Ellie's dirty bra.
So either way, I can't hide my my piece.
No.
Okay.
You might have to use
the sock.
You can't know.
How big is the sock?
No, you could use the sock. You've got Muldoon's dirty socks there from his skeleton.
Oh.
Do you cover using his socks, or do you wear them as protection on your feet, or do you walk around with no protection on your feet, everything on show, but just with Ellie's bra?
I think even dinosaurs would be surprised to see that. I'd have a bit of time to at least try and run away with the bra. I'm getting bra. Ellie's bra. Ding, ding, ding.
You might get compies after you, thinking you got a maggot.
Oh, I might get anything after wearing that.
Okay.
Here.
Now, which Looney Tunes character does the Spino resemble in Jurassic Park 3? Survey says
you want me to say anything duck related, don't you?
That would help.
That would help.
Well, that's Disney.
Yeah.
Which Looney Tunes character do most members of the public associate with Spinosaurus?
This is like a question. What if there is a right answer? I've got to guess the right answer. No. Or what? In my opinion,
well, there is only one answer.
For our listeners, Dan, think of the listeners.
Would you like some clues?
Go on, then.
He's black.
Yeah.
He has orange features.
Yeah.
He waddles and has a lisp. And he speaks with a lisp.
Oh, I'm going to say Tweety Pie just to throw you off. I don't even care.
That's racist, Dan.
So opposite.
Tweety Pie isn't black.
You are wrong.
Yeah, of course I am.
It's Daffy Duck.
Really?
Spinosaurus duck face.
Quackosaurus aegypticus.
Stop it.
Okay. We have come to the end of our questions. James. But, actually, well, no. Stephen hasn't come to the end of his questions. But for me to,
proceed.
Proceed. I need to ask Daniel to do one last thing. I hold in front of me the Jurassic Park, the Ultimate Collection box set. This is the Bible of all Jurassic Park fans.
Oh dear.
Daniel, I solemn you to swear on the Jurassic Park Bible to not talk crap, to not talk rubbish, speak actual facts, or you may be held in contempt and disbanded, abandoned from our... You know, what do you call it? Tribe thing?
Tribe thing, yes. I'll take it this is where I could potentially lose some friends and some
okay.
Some
Daniel, repeat after me. Aye, Daniel.
Aye, Daniel.
Swear.
Swear.
To not talk crap.
To not talk crap.
And be fully factual.
And be fully factual.
To the following question.
To the following question.
Daniel.
Yes?
Without talking crap. Who would actually win, a T-Rex or a Spinosaurus?
I took crap for a living.
Well, you should be a bloody expert then, son.
Do you want me to give my answer, or do you want the answer that you want to hear?
Give your answer.
And we need facts behind this.
Right. Oh, I'm going to really, really get people's backs up.
Okay.
I don't care what you say. I know he's the screen, the front page.
Don't worry, there's a lot of fans out there that are like you that like ducks.
I know he's the cover boy. She's the cover girl, should I say, for the franchise. But she wasn't the cover girl for JP3. That title.
Who is now, Daniel?
Who is back on top?
The cover girl for JP3 is the Spinal.
Now, Daniel.
Yes.
I don't believe you're correct.
Why? Because no, we're not looking at the box set. This is unfair. Individual casing.
Because the Tyrannosaurus is now back on top.
All right. Whatever.
Anyway, carry on.
Regardless.
Carry on saying what you was going to say.
Oh, every word I take, I'm getting deeper and deeper.
No, it's fine.
Carry on.
You're already in a grave already.
Yeah, okay. Really.
We're just putting the soil on top.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Carry on. Thanks for this, Steve. We've had this plan for weeks.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
Right. For film purposes, Spino has long limbs.
So does Peter Crouch.
he's a trash as well.
So does Kobe Bryant.
For American viewers, Google Peter Crouch. I wouldn't, but try and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah.
But if you really want to know his talent, Google England versus Jamaica, friendly. And watch the delights of Peter Crouch in that match. And I tell you, that is the Spino at its best right there. That's the comparison we're talking. Anyway. The Spino is bigger, it's got longer jaws. The T-Rex, it was helpless in JP3. And that, in my eyes, that's exactly how that would play out in real time.
The Spinosaurus has hollower teeth. It eats fish.
Who T-Rex cares about the facts?
T-Rex has one of the strongest bites.
Has the strongest bite force of the dinosaur kingdom known today.
Tons. What's the tons? Give me the tons again.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I've read it somewhere.
More. That's more. All that is.
That's what I meant.
More. Just more.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's 12,800 pounds.
Oh, he's got the fact books.
12,800 pounds.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, let's have a little quick look at...
Which is almost the weight of Jurassic World's island, according to Gray.
Oh, right. Really?
I'm joking.
Oh.
But how many pounds?
Yeah. Yeah, so 12,800 pounds.
How much you measure it in pounds? How many teeth is it?
Gray would know. But it doesn't actually say the Spinosaurus is... pound.
Doesn't register.
Do you know why? Do you know why it doesn't register?
Stop it!
Because they've never found one.
You're making me sad.
They're making it up.
What?
It's a hybrid.
You're joking.
They mixed duck with crocodile with like baryonyx and Suchomimus.
Yeah, but they're all good looking.
You're into dinosaurs now, are you, Dan? Not only are you into Chris Pratt, you're into dinosaurs.
All right, carry on, Daniel.
I don't want to carry on anymore.
Let's go back.
I don't want to carry on.
Remember, I knew you're sworn to oath.
I know, I knew it would happen.
Defend yourself.
But I can't.
Yourself, man. You can't. Why can't you?
Because I know for a fact, Steve's sitting there with like three pages up. He's got his dual screens up with all different pages and facts on why.
Okay, so... Right, Daniel, let me just get this right. Spino's diet is fish and small dinosaurs, whereas the T-Rex's diets were large and sometimes armoured dinosaurs.
Who doesn't like a big bit of salmon every now and then?
I'm not going to repeat that.
I like it. I like salmon.
See?
But... I'm very, very...
Steak or salmon?
It's got to be steak, mate. Steak. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you like your steak?
Medium rare.
Unwilling to answer that question.
I'd go bloody.
So, do you know what also likes a bloody steak?
Shout out!
Anyway, carry on. Come on, Dan. You need to defend this, mate.
It can swim.
But okay.
If we're going into swimming, let's just...
Just keep swimming.
If we go... Didn't a T-Rex swim after the boat in the first Jurassic Park book?
Yeah. That was a really, really resounding sad yes. Yeah, it did.
But, yeah, no, to be fair, it can swim, and obviously we don't know.
It swims better.
It probably did swim. It does swim better, judging by the film. Mm-hmm. It did swim in a river. Also, to be fair to Dan... the Spinosaurus, with updated facts to the present day, it was known to be quadruped, and most probably had webbed feet,
yeah,
and lived around an aquatic area.
Hmm.
However, Jurassic Park 3, did it look very aquatic to you?
That was just the same reason why Alan Grant was brought back, just for money purposes.
And yeah, another thing I think that bugs everybody is how quiet it can move.
Oh, the Spinosaurus Assassin.
Yeah. Yes.
Assassin's Creed. Should just have a Spinosaurus with a ringtone.
Yeah, like that's the only thing that's going to give it away. Plus, it's inside its belly. Plus, it's like hundreds of meters away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And?
But then, do you look at the Spinosaurus' assassin-ness, ninja-ness, as part of its, you know, attributes of being a better dinosaur?
Yeah, it could sneak up on that.
Or is it complete utter BS written into the story?
Yes, it's BS, but still.
And let's not mention that the Spinosaurus also has the spine on its back fused with the sail. So if he got slammed by the T-Rex, it would break his backbone and paralysing or killing him.
Stephen Hawking's paralysed. He's a great man.
But who would win in a fight?
What, Stephen Hawking or a T-Rex?
Yeah.
Got me in a corner here.
I think we had that.
Sorry, I've missed that. Are we actually who would win in a fight? I completely missed what you just said, Ben.
I'm not repeating it.
No.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I'll have to listen.
Fine, I concede. I concede.
Why do you concede, Dan? Just for the listeners.
Because
you're entitled to your opinion. You can fight it to the death.
Every right, film purposes, Spino kicks ass.
Why?
Because it has imaginary stealth-like qualities.
Okay, fair play. So the T-Rex could, you know, be getting on with its daily business and then okay, yeah, gotcha. Nice one.
Yeah. But okay, for realistic purposes, no, the Spino, I admit.
Why not? It'd be a good fight.
But in the end, ultimately,
I think it depends.
It wouldn't win.
I think if the Spinosaurus took on a younger T-Rex, or one that was, you know, couldn't really compete size wise.
A prime T-Rex.
I think that it would win, only because it is powerful. It's a powerful animal, and you wouldn't want to.
Did they get the size right?
Yeah, probably around about 50 foot. So they're about they're a couple of meters longer, I'd say.
Yeah,
and I think JP3. The look of the T-Rex looked, you know,
it looked
young adult, old juvenile.
Mm.
So the thing is, when it fought, I thought that the CGI, they looked very evenly matched in size, but it wasn't until, like, after you see, you know, like, all the size chart and when it was eating the dead animal, that it looked smaller.
Yeah.
So it kind of misled me, anyway. I don't know if it misled a lot of a few other fans and stuff, but I thought when I was fighting that, I didn't see that. I don't know why I didn't see that happening. I guess when you were a kid, you're quite naive, aren't you? But I didn't see... I think, personally, I would have left... If the Spinosaurus wanted to be the main villain in this, I would have left the Spinosaurus injuring the T-Rex, making it sort of, you know, retreat, injured.
Yeah.
Don't want to die.
Overkill, but again...
So then you never know whether the T-Rex died or not. Now, Spinosaurus carries on being the rest of the villain the whole film, yeah? Sorry, the villain for the rest of the whole film.
Mm.
Then, right at the end, as the characters are escaping, the T-Rex returns triumphantly. They fight. You don't see who the winner is. The speculation continues. No one gets to say, oh, T-Rex, make the spine, I spine a bit, T-Rex, as they do.
Yeah.
Good impression there, brother. and then it leaves it open. Like, all the fan forums would be going mad. You could also...
The nice touch in Jurassic World with the Spinoskeleton, is that the one from JP3?
Oh, is it? Oh, do you know what? I think he looks slightly different, to be fair. It's got a little crest on its head. It's not really duckified enough, but...
Yeah, I don't think it was from JP3, because I think when you read about it, they tried to keep Lost World and JP3
I believe it's the engine design, though.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that... With going by scientific accuracy, it's not like that now, is it? It's got short legs.
Mm.
It's quadruped. So I think it is the in-gen design. Mm. It could be.
Yeah, but I think it was just a nod at it to maybe keep... Because they had the short little theme tune from The Lost World when blue.
What do you think it was suggesting then, Dan?
It was a definite Mickey take. JP3. Yeah, obviously the way the T-Rex burst through it, come on, it's a bit obvious.
So would you say that...
if you think about it, like when they played the little theme tune for Lost World, it was when Blue was, you know, still alive.
Slow motion, awesome scene.
And it was kind of like, you know, that's still a good film, that's still a good thing happening in Jurassic World right now. And then, obviously Jurassic Park 3
bursting through it.
It's kind of a subtle hint as to what the writers and what really thought of each film.
And do you believe that it was the T-Rex's way of saying, yeah, you had your time.
Yeah.
Right. I'm back from travelling now.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So to summarise, you like the Spino, but T-Rex is better.
Yes.
You got it. Okay, listeners,
you are now. Yep. You've now listened to Dan sworn an oath on the Jurassic Park collection box set.
I wonder
why he's now still our friend.
Yep.
He's still part of our Jurassic Unicast crew, I guess.
Yeah.
And podcasts and etc.
Well, it's been fun.
I welcome you back, Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How does it feel to be part of the crew again?
I feel relieved.
Yes.
I feel like I can have this keyring now with pride.
You can. As Daniel holds a Jurassic Park keyring with the Tyrannosaurus on it. Okay, right. Well, thank you very much for listening.
Yeah,
I hope you enjoyed everything that we did.
Yeah, just something different to add in. I say, it was actually designed to be a 15 minutes, now 40 minutes long.
Yeah, that's so. When you get carried away, as per usual.
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Jurassic Unicast, on YouTube, under Jurassic Unicast, and Facebook, we've got a Jurassic Unicast site.
All this will be on, like we said before, Brad Jose's podcast, which you're listening to at the moment, I hope.
Yeah, otherwise you ain't there in this. Right, bye from me.
And bye from me.
And bye from me. Thanks, Emil.
Whee!
Dodson, we've got Dodson here!
You just went and made a new dinosaur?
That doesn't look very scary.
You are alive. I stopped to eat you.
So, as we mentioned in the news segment, J.A. Bayona posted a picture of some Jurassic World construction helmets, and it really doesn't tell us much, but it certainly sparked debate among the members of the community. Now, of course, I took that opportunity to hear what you thought. This is all via Twitter, so let's take a look. Billy Reed says,
I think we'll undoubtedly see the ruins of Jurassic World.
Caleb Burnett says,
perhaps we'll see a flashback to before Jurassic World.
Jay Jurassic says,
flashback.
At Nublar7, Josh says,
I have a gut feeling we may see the ruins of the Indominus paddock and the leftover construction stuff, like the hard hats.
Victorious Cantina says,
a trek through the ruins of Jurassic World, similar to Zack and Gray visiting the Jurassic Park ruins.
Fede says,
they are building something with dinosaurs, but not necessarily a theme park, or maybe it's just a promotional pick without any real context.
At Bloody Wonder says,
the park will be a reserve of sorts, but not open to the public. Either way, we'll be revisiting the ruins of Nublar again.
At Miserio Jr. says,
maybe the film begins letting us see the ruins of Jurassic World, the dead Mosasaur stuck in her paddock, and the destroyed Main Street.
At D'Amico 2414 says,
rival company going through Jurassic World to take dinos back to the mainland, and maybe we'll see more of the old park.
Andrew Hoyt says,
I have absolutely no idea, and that fact makes me very happy.
At Aaron D. Byer says,
unfortunately, not much. They've already confirmed that they're going to Hawaii for a period of time, which means they're going to Nublar.
At Sickle underscore Claw says,
hats.
Raptor Dad says,
dinosaur hats.
At Rogue Sunrise says,
another poor worker bit the dust. More construction. Or maybe they're digging.
So, there you have it. I think we have a consensus. It's either a trek through the ruins of Jurassic World, or it's absolutely nothing. Like I said before, it really doesn't tell us much of anything, but it is certainly fun to talk about. Now, if you have any comments on the image that you'd like to add, contact us and let us know. Call our voicemail line at 732-825-7763, email us at JurassicParkPod@gmail.com, or send us a message via our contact tab on our website. Thank you so much for commenting on the poll, and we'll surely be running another one soon. Make sure to visit JurassicParkPodcast.com to find all our past episodes, brand new news articles, information on how to contact us, and much more. It's a great source for everything related to the podcast, and of course, Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. Head to JurassicParkPodcast.com and help us build a great community.
Anybody hear that?
Thanks for listening to the 84th episode of the Jurassic Park Podcast. Of course, a huge thanks to James and Steve from Jurassic Unicast, along with their guest Dan White, for debuting a brand new segment this week. I'm really excited to see where this one goes, and I know they have some really big plans for guests on that segment. It'll be a blast to hear more in Jurassic Pop Quiz. Thanks, guys. Also, a big thanks to everybody who commented on the poll segment this week. You guys are the reason this podcast exists, so I'm always grateful to read your responses. Keep them coming. Don't forget about the promo code that we're running with the Franklin Institute for Jurassic World the Exhibition. Enter the code JWGENER for $5 off daytime adult admission tickets. Head to our website for a direct link and for more information on the promo code. Don't forget to share the code with your friends and family. Tell them where you got it and let us know when you use it. If you want to interact with us, we do most of our work over on Twitter at Jurassic Park Pod. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/Jurassic Park Podcast, and our Instagram handle is at Jurassic Park Podcast. You can listen to us via iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, YouTube, our website, or wherever else podcasts are found. So make sure to subscribe to automatically get new episodes every week. If you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes or a great review wherever you listen to the podcast. It will seriously help out our rankings and make it easier for fans like you to find us. Now, we're usually spotted commenting on the Jurassic Park subreddit as Jurassic Park Podcast. Don't forget to check out JurassicParkPodcast.com for all the links you heard here today. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us with any news stories, MP3s, comments, or if you want to debut a segment of your own, send them to JurassicParkPod@gmail.com, or you could submit questions directly on our website contact form. If you'd like to record something for the show, send it in to us and we'll feature it in an upcoming episode. If you don't have any way to record, you can give our voicemail line a call and leave us a message. That number is 732-825-7763. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Drop what you're doing and leave now.